Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad when you join us here. And if you'd like to take part in our conversations, you can do that as well. Phone numbers, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Some committees of the Oregon legislature meet today through Friday, even though the legislature itself is not officially in session. It's a practice called legislative days, and one committee in particular is likely to get an earful of testimony on the subject of pesticides, one particular kind of pesticides. Those are the neonicotinoids. Think nicotine when you hear the term. There is a relation. Those are the pesticides blamed for last June's major bee die-off in the greater Portland area. A couple of groups are working to get those pesticides declared off-limits permanently in Oregon. One of those is Beyond Toxics, based in Lane County. Lisa Arkin is the executive director and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Lisa, welcome back to the Exchange.
Good morning, Jeff. I'm so glad to be here.
For the people who don't know much about Beyond Toxic, give us the thumbnail sketch of your group and what it's all about, please.
Sure. Beyond Toxics is a statewide nonprofit. We're working on environmental health issues. And what's unique about our organization is we really try to merge pure environmental issues such as air quality or water quality or saving endangered species with a human health element. So we do a lot of research on how air quality affects asthma or how pesticides affect our endocrine system. Those are some examples. So we have a wide range of topics that we work on.
So you drill a little further into the health effects rather than just saying, oh, the air is gross or, you know, whatever like that. You just want to make sure you really quantify what the health effects are from certain kinds of pesticides?
Exactly. And we bring a human rights element to it. So we're one of the few environmental groups that's purposely working on environmental justice so that we have a clean environment for everyone, available to everyone and for future generations.
Take us back to the bee die-off. This was last June in Wilsonville. What happened?
Well, the Oregon Department of Agriculture confirmed that the 60,000 bumblebees were killed by an application of a neonicotinoid onto linden trees that happened to be in bloom in a parking lot of a Target store, I think it was. They applied the pesticide in the morning, but when the bees arrived, they just dropped dead right out of the sky from having contact with this pesticide. It's dinotefuran, I hope I say it right. And that's what happened in Wilsonville, but what's even stranger and more troubling is that bees were also killed when they visited trees that had been sprayed with a neonicotinoid 3 months earlier. So it seems like this pesticide can become systemic and then gets expressed through the blossoms of the trees.
That number you just gave, the 60,000, that's about 10,000 higher than the highest estimates I'd heard before. Has there been some new information about the bee die-off?
I just was looking it up yesterday, and that's the new number I saw. But, you know, whether they were able to count every bee that fell on the ground, you know, I'm not sure how they estimated the number. But the bees were dying over time. So when the first reports came out, they were saying over 50,000. So the latest I saw was 60,000.
All right, the meaning of the name neonicotinoid, so, you know, with little knowledge of Latin, this is like something new, tobacco products or something?
Well, I have to admit I'm not a chemist, but it has a relationship to nicotine, the same kind of nicotine you would find in a cigarette.
All right, so, and obviously that's not exactly a really healthy thing to have in anybody's body. What is this class of pesticides meant to either kill or control?
It's meant specifically for insects such as aphids and grub worms. People tend to buy it when they're tending rose bushes or other flowering shrubs, but it's also used on agricultural corn. It's injected into the seed as it's being planted, and this has become a big problem for beekeepers that happen to have large beekeeping business areas next to corn planting areas.
All right. So have there been some issues? I know that we were trying to get a hold of a beekeeper for today's program and haven't been able to make contact. But what's the general situation you're hearing from beekeepers?
Well, in general, beekeepers are reporting that annually they're losing about 30% of their hives. That's just completely unsustainable. So there's dire worry that we won't have enough bees to pollinate crops. And in fact, the almond crop, which is grown in California, Southern California, is having problems getting enough beekeepers who have enough bees to come pollinate the almond crop. Without bees, we wouldn't have almonds. The other thing we're hearing is in terms of planting corn, that when the corn seed is coated with this neonicotinoid and then it's planted mechanically into the ground, and by that I mean big machines come and sort of blast these seeds into the ground, the hulls are rubbing off the seed because of all the pressure of planting them. These are then airborne, and they carry with it the neonicotinoid, and when they're in the air, they create sort of a dust storm of this insecticide, which then harms nearby bees or any bees flying through that area.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. Our guest is Lisa Arkin, the executive director of Beyond Toxics, a statewide group that clearly works to ban certain types of toxic substances. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in our listening area. Our local number for the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. There was action from the Oregon Department of Agriculture after the bee die-off in Wilsonville on these particular pesticides, the neonicotinoids. What was that move, Lisa?
They temporarily restricted the purchase of some neonicotinoids, not all, and that is set to expire in December of this year.
So it was given an expiration date?
I think it's December 22nd. And it wasn't all the products, and it wasn't all of their uses either. So you can use a neonicotinoid that you happen to have on hand. It's just a little harder to find them in the stores, but we don't know what the Department of Agriculture is planning to do about this temporary ban for some of the products. What we'd like to see them do is ban all of the products for purchase.
Since this is the Department of Agriculture, how broad is its authority? I mean, is it able to get all neonicotinoids off the store shelves in Oregon for farm use and consumer use, or just for farm use, or what?
The Oregon Department of Agriculture has the authority to enact federal law around pesticides, and so they have the ability, the authority, and the responsibility to register, regulate, and control registrations and licensing for pesticide products.
All right, and obviously you don't want to see this this ban expire. So, what is the action that has been taking place since the temporary ban went in place? What is your group and some of the others working on?
Well, on the grassroots level, that includes beekeepers, farmers, people who like to eat food. I think that includes all of us, and environmental groups such as Beyond Toxics. We're working, number one, to educate people. So, thank you for having this program, because people need to know how their actions can affect the future of food production in our state. And then second of all, we're working with local governments and state governments to do more to protect bees. So, for example, Beyond Toxics has been working with the city of Eugene on finding out what they were using, and they were chagrined to find out that they had been using some neonicotinoids. So the city staff has stepped right up, I'm so proud, and stopped all uses of neonicotinoids on city property, and the city council will be considering a ban of those products on city property. That's all they can do. They do not have the authority to regulate any pesticide use on private property. The second thing we're doing is working with our state legislators to, again, educate, because some of them know nothing about this, and to get them involved in what the Oregon Department of Agriculture will eventually decide to do. So we're having a hearing in the state capitol tomorrow on November 21st, and it's an informational hearing, so there won't be public testimony. There'll be a panel of experts speaking about the plight of bees and how much they contribute to our economy.
All right, let's take a call here. We have Carter in Wolf Creek on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about bees and neonicotinoids with Lisa Arkin from Beyond Toxics. Hi, Carter.
Yeah. You should be, the listeners should be aware that there is a nicotine-related compound in our bodies that we can't live without, and it's called nicotinamide. And It's also called niacinamide, and it is one of the B vitamins, and we can't live without it. And the reason for my calling up is everything's connected to everything else, like John Muir said. So it's not a black and white thing. It's a gray kind of thing. And so we, given this background, we have to understand very carefully what we're doing in nature, because everything's overlapping everything else.
So are you saying that there's a case to be made for neonicotinoids?
No. We just have to understand how interrelated this stuff is, the molecular world is, and how utterly dependent we are on it.
All right. So,
and have to move very carefully with all the information we can get about this.
Into relationships and overlapping. Good point to bring up. Thank you for that, Carter. Lisa, your comment?
I totally agree that things are interrelated, and that bee colony, we're having this problem called bee colony collapse syndrome, where whole hives are dying off and hives become empty overnight. We don't know why exactly. There are researchers out there that say neonicotinoid pesticides are a big problem, and there's also problems related to viruses and mites. And it's all connected, because if you weaken the immune system of a living thing, a bee, a human, you make them more vulnerable to other kinds of diseases and attacks from pathogens. So whether neonicotinoids are the one and only reason for bee colony collapse, no one can really say that. But we probably can all agree that the use of these pesticides ubiquitously is weakening living things. And I would include humans in that, and I would say it all comes full circle.
Now, I know that there are committee hearings during legislative days today through Friday, and there will be some legislation drafted. I guess there's a deadline coming up as well to get legislation written for the next short legislative session at the beginning of next year, since it is an even-numbered year. Do you have any indication from members of the Agriculture Committee if there is a legislation that's likely to emerge from the hearing tomorrow?
It's our hope that with a very strong panel of experts, we will be able to have legislation that's effective and sensible emerging. I can't say for sure, because that's the purpose of this informational hearing, is to see what we know. We'll have experts from Oregon State University there. We'll have experts from Oregon Department of Agriculture there. We'll have the owner of Glory Bee Foods is going to talk about the agricultural impact of bees in our state, and you know how it would be detrimental to all of Oregon's agriculture to see bees decline. In fact, Oregon alone would face over $600 million in losses if bees were not around to be pollinating our crops. And for me to even list the amount of foods that bees are responsible for creating would take us well past our time, but we can say that 70% of the food we eat is there on our plate because a bee had something to do with it.
All right, so a lot of support for bees and a lot of support for further controls on the neonicotinoids. The Oregon Legislature's Agriculture Committee will hear from Lisa Arkin. Are you going to be there yourself, Lisa?
I'll be there. I'm not on the panel,
testifying.
But what we're going to do is have a photography exhibit of bees from our photo contest in the gallery. It's going to be gorgeous. We have 15 huge photos of bees that people submitted to our annual photo contest. So those will be on display. We'll have honey tasting. We'll have tastes of foods that have been, again, as I said, available to us because a bee pollinated a flower, and try to raise awareness about how important they are. So that's our role tomorrow, is to help people become friends of bees.
All right, so a real bee bazaar going on at the Oregon State Capitol. Lisa Arkin from Beyond Toxics, the executive director, thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
We appreciate it so much. Thanks for helping educate people.
You bet. Bottom of the hour on the Exchange, Vents Day coming. Here's Garrison Keillor.